Around the Grounds. Port Adelaide coach Ken Hinckley.
Four past eight, RSN 927 Sports Heaven, Michael Christian and Mick McGuan with you right through until 8:30, and great to have the coach of Port Adelaide with us, Ken Hinckley. Ken, congratulations on your backs to the wall win on Saturday night.
Yeah, thanks, Christo. To say we needed it would be probably a little understatement, but I'm glad we got it.
It's funny, you look at the league ladder, and although you're outside the eight, you're still 3-3. You've still set a good foundation for the rest of the year.
Yeah, we certainly we're far from out of the competition, which, you know, some of the publicity, some of the stuff would suggest that we are, but what we are is we're hanging on, and we need to improve really quickly. And, you know, last week was a good start.
Kenny, what about the home truth spoken about last week? Can you elaborate?
Home truth? Oh, look, Mick, some of that stuff, as you know, when it gets written, there's actually not that much in it. We talk about the way we want it to play and how we expect to play, and, you know, that's week in, week out, not from, you know, the Geelong game. We had one quarter. We didn't have a second quarter. And, you know, we talked more about as a club and as a team that we wanted to be able to be consistent in the way we went about things. And, you know, we have a model that works, but our problem has been to be consistently able to use that model ourselves.
I loved your selection of certain players in certain parts of the ground. I think you must take credit for that, though, first and foremost. Westhoff and the ruck, his attack on the contest in the air was a highlight. Impey going forward was great. Jared Pollack, you put it on him, obviously. He's an important player to the team. Why was he dropped a couple of weeks ago? Was it just about effort?
Yeah, not so much even just purely effort. There was some stuff in Jared's game that he needed to work on. And Jared, offensively, is an outstanding weapon. We all understand that. But Jared needs to make sure that, you know, he always is reliable, and that's at that contest, that's at that structure, you know, and obviously, and that's in defence. But I was also buffering Jared's games and performances. He effectively had a year out of football. So he hadn't actually had enough, I don't think, continuity of playing a game. Even through the NAB Cup, we played him 1 week, rest another. He didn't play the first three. He played 3 weeks before the season started. So he had some disruption to his football. We just needed to help him get some focus on what was important.
Offensively, he played a great game on Saturday night. Were you happy with what he did defensively?
Yep. Yeah, much happier, Chris, I've got to be honest. You know, and his contest at the ball too was really strong. And, you know, as I said, when Polly's on top of his game, he's a pretty good player. But if he's only relying on one part of his game to get through, he's going to find it, you know, more challenging than he would like.
Kenny, loved your shape, and you look more attacking from D50 with more mobile defenders in your team. Is this your template going into the future, or is it horses for courses?
I think it's a little bit of the template, Mick, for the competition, to be honest. It's, you know, the smaller back halves have been, you know, able to get hold of the ball and run with it a little bit better. Look, ours was forced on us a little bit because we've got some personnel missing. We liked what it was able to do at the back half of last year and get it done. And, you know, obviously this year for the first time we were significantly smaller in our back half and got a result we want. Look, the jury's still out. I think, you know, you play the Kangaroos, you've got Petrie, Wade, Brown. You know, you've got some big forwards. You've actually got to have probably some size to go with them.
So there is a chance that, say, Tringove and Carlisle still can play in the same team?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for us going forward at the moment, because of our ruck situation, probably Jacko is a live chance to play a lot of ruck for us for the next 10 or 12 weeks. So that allows you to have a little bit more flexibility.
Where does that leave Matthew Lobie?
It leaves him injured, unfortunately, at the moment, boys. He's done his PCL in the sample on the weekend.
Oh, so. No.
So he's got a 12 to 14 week injury, which, as I said, that's what that allows Jacko that opportunity to play in the ruck. So just another one to add to the list for us. I think we took the field on the weekend with 1,240 games out of our side with experience. But you know what? It's created opportunity for other people, and we're excited by that.
In saying that, though, too, Ken, I reckon it's a really positive that the boys you brought in got the job done. But I think also it's an opportunity to sell the message of this is what happens when you get effort. So irrespective whether you're Chad Wingard or Robbie Gray, who've got outstanding credits in the bank, if you don't provide that effort based on what they did the week before, there mightn't be a room for you in the team. Is that a fair sort of sell to the rest of the squad?
Yeah, I think it's obvious. And, you know, for us as a group, we did take the field last week with some names missing, but we took the field and played in a style that we commit to every week, but that needs to be everyone involved. And, you know, and you talk about is it 18, is it 15, is it three or four great players, but for us, it has to be about the 22, and we need. What I like this week, I've got to say the most, is when I sat down and do best and fairest voting, and you know, do the coaches award. I wasn't sure who the best five players on the ground were for either side, for both sides. And I certainly, for our point of view, you know, I just thought we had that really even contribution right across the 22. And that each player, what I would tick off as played their role through the game, which that'll allow you to win more often than not.
Kenny, I love Darcy Byrne-Jones. He's a salt on the footy in the opposition in a team that probably needed a signature statement at times on the weekend. He was a highlight.
Yeah, he's been fantastic, Mick. I look, to be honest, you know, you said take some credit for some of the selections. Darcy's one that I probably was reluctant to 4 weeks ago, and you know, the coaching group that we have here are really strong. They pushed up for him, and you know, Darcy's come in and he's played just really true Port Adelaide football that our supporters would sit back and go, yeah, that's the type of player that we play at Port Adelaide. And you know, he's just, look, if you talk about, you know, nominations for Rising Star, there's a boy that probably couldn't have had a stronger month, and, you know, he should be probably right up there in the mix.
Ken Hinckley is with us, the coach of Port Adelaide, RSN 927 Sports Heaven.
Charlie Dixon's been reported he's got the flu. Ken, is that the case, and will he front up this week?
Yeah, no, he'd be fine. I must admit, when I got the call yesterday morning that he was crooked, and I spoke to him yesterday afternoon, and I can give you the facts. He's got a bit of a cold more than the flu, and you know, he'll be fine. He'll have a run around on Friday and be no problems. It's probably almost a little bit of a blessing because we've put a fair bit of load through Charlie in the first part of the year, and he's standing up to it. You know, and that hasn't been, you know, one of the things he's been able to do in the past. So, not that I want him to be sick too often, but to have a day off training probably doesn't hurt.
Travis spoke okay. He's away from training duties at the moment for personal reasons. Everything okay there?
Yeah. No problem. Just purely a commitment to a funeral, to be honest, and he needed to be in Victoria to support a friend of his, a mate of his, a close mate from his playing days.
Ken, big challenge for you on Sunday. Brisbane, it's a game that you should win, that you should expect to win. What's the focus this week to ensure that the same work ethic that you are able to obtain on Saturday night is delivered on Sunday?
Yeah, we'll focus, Chriso, on what it looks like more than what the result might be or might not be, because we know the competition. You know, look, Brisbane should have probably beaten Sydney nearly last week watching the game. And you think, you know, it doesn't matter who you play and where you play them, the competition is that tight. If you don't do what you know is fundamentally what you stand for as a football club, you're going to run the risk of losing. We don't want to take that risk again. Look, what we've been able to do in the past is we've been able to identify sometimes what we are and who we are, and then we've been able to stick to that plan pretty strongly. And I hope from the players' point of view that they understand and believe in what we do now. And, you know, names or personnel, not really that big an issue. It's more what that group do together. And I think, you know, if we can come with the, you know, like a little thing of, if we can come with the right preparation, we'll end up in the right space at the end of the day. But if we don't, you know, we put ourselves at risk.
Have you got a thought about this academy discussion, Kenny?
Other than say there's a lot of good players coming out of the Giants academy. But, you know, I don't buy into that because I don't have any control over it. But, you know, they've got a really healthy football zone that looks like it's providing plenty of numbers at the moment. What I could say about it is that we've got a couple of players on our list that we've taken out of the Giants Academy. So, you know, we've got Dougal Howard and we've got Logan Austin, who are both on our list who come through their program. So, you know, it does provide opportunity for other clubs as well. I suppose there is a tipping point.
How much upside has Dougal Howard got?
Lots. Lots, Mick. To be fair, he's a very young player, physically still not ready to play that often, and you know, he's showing us stuff now that, you know, is suggesting that he will play a lot of football in the future.
Now let's talk a thing about what is dear to your heart. What's easier, getting to Warrnambool for the carnival or coaching footy?
It's harder to get to Warrnambool now than coaching footy. You've got no chance.
Where would you prefer to be?
Yeah, it's tough, Mick. You know, it's not fair, but. But I've actually got a greyhound racing at the moment over here, and he's won his last couple. So
what's he called?
It gives me a little bit of fun. So he's called Canley Lewis. He won yesterday in a race at Angle Park by about 7 or 8 lengths, and he's going okay. So he is my passion for the racing at the moment, Mick the Punt, which, you know, I love, and I've always got an interest.
So have you had a long history in greyhound racing?
Loves it.
Yeah, I have. I have for a number of years now, and they've got a great mate over there, down near Warrnambool, Peter Hubbard, who trains a few, and, you know, I've always known Graham Bate pretty well, so you know, I've got good passion for the greyhounds, and I've always had a bit of fun with them.
Who trains your greyhound in Adelaide?
Peter Jovanovic's got the dog over here at the moment, and you know, he had two starts in Angle Park, one last Thursday and one again yesterday. So hopefully, Mick, he was the reason. We've got the great Lewis is getting us out going in footy as well.
Good on you, Kenny. Great that you could join us. Good luck against Brisbane. You'll be 4-3 if you can get over there and certainly put yourself right on the edge of the eight, which is obviously where you want to be. But good luck and thanks for your time.
Good on you, boys. Talk soon.